Toxic Free Talk Radio. And we're having a marathon of Toxic Free Talk Radio shows today, 12 hours. We started at noon today, and we're going till midnight tonight, Eastern Time. And we have 12 guests, and we've had some technical difficulties, and we've had some great shows, and it's just been all kinds of things like you would expect with a marathon. And the reason that I'm doing this today is to celebrate the launch of my new book, Toxic Free. And Toxic Free is about becoming aware of the toxic chemicals that we're exposed to in our daily life and how learning how we can reduce our exposure to those toxic chemicals. But on the other side of it, learning about how we can remove the toxic chemicals that are already in our bodies. And yes, there are toxic chemicals in our bodies. The Centers for Disease Control are measuring these and monitoring these as a source of illness, a public health problem. But we don't have to wait for the Centers for Disease Control to tell us that we should not be being exposed to them. We can make our decisions ourselves. We can remove the toxic chemicals from our bodies ourselves. And not only do toxic chemicals affect us humans, but they also affect our pets. And our guest today on this hour is Dr. Deva Khulsa, who is a superb veterinarian. And she is going to talk with us about how we can keep our pets healthy in a preventive way through nutrition. So I'm going to bring Deva on. Hello, Dr. Deva. You're on the air with me, Deborah Lindout. Are you there?
Hi, Deborah. Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
It's working, isn't it? Isn't it how easily we can be made happy when these technical things work, like in webinars? How
yes.
are you doing? How many hours have you been on already?
I've been on for six.
How are you doing? How do you do this?
I have lots of nutrition, and so I'm doing pretty well. I'm actually really excited because all the guests have been absolutely fabulous, and it's been so easy for me to sit here and talk for so many hours because it's so interesting.
And isn't that wonderful?
It is. And I still have 6 hours left. So this is the halfway mark. And I'm so glad you're here.
Well, I have to admit, I haven't been listening in, although I really wanted to, because I leave in 2 days and I'm just slammed. It's Murphy's Law that whenever you have to leave for a conference for a while or do something, you know, every patient in the world suddenly needs you at that moment or within 2 days. So it's been wild. I guess you've been talking about great things. Do you want to talk about me to talk about toxins that our pets are exposed to?
Well, first I want you to tell us how you became interested in, well, being a vet, number one. But number two, why are you a holistic vet and not a regular vet?
It's been an experience that's been a journey that you evolve on this journey. And you start doing it for all different reasons, but you know, getting into holistic therapies is fascinating, and when you learn how they work and why things go wrong, you then take control of your own life. Well, when I grew up, you know, my mother, who was my best friend and I loved dearly, didn't take care of herself, and she smoked a lot, and she was overweight, and she died at a very young age. We don't know why, a pulmonary embolism or a heart attack, we don't know, but regardless, it was obvious she didn't take care of herself, and in those days, by the way, people didn't. They didn't exercise. I mean, I don't even remember. I don't know. I'm dating myself, but there used to be exercise machines where women had these, like, bands around their stomachs, like a piece of material, and it would jiggle them. And that was, like, considering, you have to think about that. That was considered exercise, you know, and that was considered trimming yourself. And, you know, diets were a whole different thing, and we've learned really a lot about health and how the body works. In these last 30 or 40 years, if you remember an actress, how they would age and what they would look like. And, you know, for us, they were always the same. Vivian Leigh, and she always stayed beautiful, but whoever you want to talk about from Gone with the Wind, you know.
Yeah.
Suddenly you see them and they were terrible, and now you see these actresses, heavens to Murgatroyd, they look younger than some 30-year-olds, you know, and they're 60 or 70 years old. So we've learned a lot about aging and how the body works in 30 years. We've learned quite a bit. But my first, you know, interesting concept was I almost had to become a medical doctor because veterinary school was the hardest professional school to get into in this country, and medical school was my backup. In the first year that I applied, I got into medical school but not veterinary school because I was from New Jersey, and from the state of New Jersey, only 15 students were accepted to veterinary schools, which isn't a lot. And so the following year I got into vet school, but I thought I might have to go to medical school. And so what I did was I began taking holistically oriented courses for people, especially on homeopathy, thinking if I have to become a medical doctor, at least I'm going to be holistically oriented. Because I felt that people had the capacity to be in charge of their lives and in charge of their health and the capacity to be informed, and they chose not to. And as far as I was concerned, because I'm a veterinarian mode, that was their problem. Dogs and cats who give us unconditional love, who are always there for us, should not suffer from our ignorance. And I wanted to heal them and make them better. So when I got into veterinary school, I looked at everything they did, and I thought, God, there's got to be a better way than this or this or this. And I began to think very deeply about things because I learned a lot of holistic health concepts. And when I got out of school, I tried on my very first job a lot of the stuff I had learned taking holistic courses whenever I had time when I was in veterinary school and the ones I took before. And I had sort of beginner's poker luck. In other words, everything worked miraculously. And I was so amazed that I started to travel. And I went to India and I went to England and I went to Brazil and I studied with some of the very best people in the world to learn about holistic health. And that's a long enough answer to a short question. There's more on the journey, but that's how I decided I wanted to be a holistic veterinarian.
Good, very good. So now tell us about how toxic chemicals affect pets.
Well, it's an interesting thing because when I began to look at disease, disease doesn't happen overnight, number one, and there's usually a reason for it. Organs just don't fail, you know. You just don't get autoimmune disease and allergies. There's a reason why things go haywire. The body is sort of set up like our constitution, like our government set up Thomas Jefferson and George Washington set up the government of our country, which is a lot of checks and balances, albeit it doesn't seem to exist right now. But the body is set up that way too, with lots of checks and balances, so that it shouldn't be able to go haywire. It shouldn't happen. Even cells have a gene.
That's an important point, both for pets and for people, because I think that in today's world, everybody's so sick that we think, well, that's what bodies do. You think, you know, you go through life and you get sick and you die. But actually, what I've learned too, the same thing, is that the body's natural state is actually to have health, no matter what the body is. And that we forget that if we just stop abusing it, whether it's...
Exactly.
Food or alcohol or cigarettes or toxic chemicals, that the body will be healthy.
Exactly. Exactly, exactly. And we have so much now that people didn't have, let's say, at the start of this country 200 years ago. We have a lot of different ways to heal and clean and tone the body, but we also have a lot of toxins in our environment that we didn't have then. But, if we treated our bodies like some guy would treat the favorite old Mustang that he got, that he fixes up and polishes and puts together and changes the oil. If we treated our bodies that way, we would be like those actresses, really. It's not just plastic surgery. A lot of them are really health nuts, and they stay young-looking and active, and they don't get arthritis, and they're healthy because they have done what they needed to stay healthy. And there's a couple of things. I mean, there are things that you can't avoid. Like, so many cats get kidney failure, and I think one of the reasons we see so much kidney failure in cats, and that's one of them, is because a lot of the fish that's in cat food has very high mercury levels. I mean, the fish in people food, geez, even the EPA says pregnant women shouldn't eat swordfish more than, what, once a month? Children shouldn't eat tuna fish? Growing children more than, you'd be amazed, this is on the website of the FDA, like, growing children should not eat tuna fish more than, it used to be once a week, I swear it's gotten even less. Because of the mercury content. Well, the stuff that's put into cat food actually has more mercury than what's allowed in human food typically. So I think that's one of the reasons why we see their kidneys fail, because of the fact that they're exposed to so much mercury over time. So there's certain things that are almost hard to avoid because they're insipid, whether it's fluoride in the water, arsenic in the water. It's like you if you live a normal life, it's hard to avoid. If you want to be super-duper-duper careful, you can. But even what they spray salads with or greens or what they color meat with so it looks good in the market, it's almost like you have to spend your life as Columbo trying to find out what toxins are. But there are some things in the animal world that totally, totally stand out and that are becoming more and more obvious and known. They told us for years as veterinarians how safe all these flea products are, particularly, let's say, Frontline. And Frontline is that you dab it on your dog, and they told us it just stayed and it glued onto the oil glands, and that was it, you know? So what happened was we all believe that, and we believe you dab on this Frontline, and it's going to stay on the top of your dog or cat, and it's safe. And, gee, fleas and ticks are terrible, and isn't this easy? Now, before that, I knew, like, people would think that when they dip their dog or when they put a flea collar on, it was just a powder on the body. When mm-hmm. you put a flea collar on your pet, the poisons and chemicals that kill the fleas and ticks in the flea collar actually absorb into the microcirculation around the neck and then get into the circulation in the body and go through all the organs and all the systems, so there's enough poison right by the dog's tail, far away from the neck, in the blood, not in the skin, that it would kill the tick or flea. So they do go systemic, but we were told these tough spots did not. So despite these advertising claims to the contrary, our well-known and commonly used topical treatments actually do contain pesticides that do indeed enter our pets' organs. And children and adults that interact closely with pets who have been treated with these chemicals can also be affected by these toxins. All flea and tick products are made up of what we call active and inert ingredients. And the active ingredients, they target and they kill fleas. But some of the inert ingredients are also toxic, although the word suggests that they're safe. So there's a woman named, what was her name, Dr. DeBasi, I think, of the EPA's pesticide division, decided to do research with the active ingredient in fipronil, or Frontline, Frontline has the ingredient fipronil. That's what kills the fleas and ticks. And this ingredient she attached to irradiated substances so she could follow through the body. It has potential for nervous system and thyroid toxicity, even at low doses. Laboratory effects with this Frontline product included thyroid cancer. This is in rats. Altered thyroid hormones, liver toxicity, kidney damage, convulsions. In dogs, they saw whining. Oh, this was in dogs, yeah. It was thyroid cancer, altered thyroid hormones in dogs, and we're seeing so much hypothyroidism in dogs nowadays, liver toxicity, kidney damage, convulsions, whining, barking, crying, loss of appetite, incoordination, reduced fertility, fetus mortality, smaller offspring, loss of hair at or beyond the application site, moist inflammation, chemical burn, and itching. So, and if you look at Mariel's website, they say that it's absorbed into the skin and that the sebaceous glands provide a natural reservoir. But that isn't the case. That is simply not the case with that particular top spot. And it actually gets worse. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different brands, but a lot of people think that the pyrethrins, which are the naturally occurring compounds that are made from the chrysanthemum plant,
yes.
And there's pyrethroids with a synthetic counterpart, are less hazardous. But in fact, believe it or not, the contrary has been irrefutably proven. There's something called the Center for Public Integrity, and it's a nonprofit news organization. And there's also something called the National Resources Defense Council, which
yep.
is an environmental advocacy group. So they began to research this, and they collected data that was recently made public through the Freedom of Information Act. And what they discovered was that the real data about these pyrethroid-based insecticides that are manufactured for pet, human, and environmental use shows that from 2002 through 2007, at least 1,600 pet deaths were related to the spot-on treatments by the natural pyrethrins or the synthetic pyrethroids, which
wow.
accounted for more than half of the major pesticide pet reactions. And they all, and also, I mean, but that, oh, excuse me, that the number of deaths just through these pyrethroids, which is 1,600, that were reported, how many people report this stuff?
Was
double the reported fatalities linked to the flea treatments without pyrethroids. So these pyrethroid spot-ons accounted for more than half of the major pesticide pet reactions also, which were like brain damage, heart attacks, and seizures. So it's amazing. It's like it's a sad situation, but quite honestly, you're in a situation in which you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
Yeah, one of the things that we look at with exposure in the human realm is the fact that children have a greater exposure than adults, even if they're in exactly the same circumstances in the home. Because a child's body is smaller in relation to the amount of chemicals they're exposed to than the adult. And when you extrapolate that out to a pet who's so much smaller than a child, can you imagine it would be like 10 or 20 times the amount of exposure that we have just by having a pet in that same home environment with us, that it's a huge amount of exposure. And you know, we love our pets, but this is not a good way to treat them, to be, have them be exposed. I mean, not only to the toxic chemicals in pet products, but even the toxic chemicals that people typically have around their home as well.
Absolutely. Just imagine a dog and a child. The child is hugging and playing with the dog who's just had his top spot flea application.
Yeah.
She's squeezing his neck. She's kissing him, you know, whatever. They're rolling around together. The kid's getting it on her, too. Then they both go out to roll around on the lawn, which parents don't do. The lawn's been sprayed, and there's been some Roundup sprayed and chemicals. In fact, there was a study, I think it was University of Tennessee, or maybe it was a different one, I forget. Maybe it was one of the veterinary schools did a study, and it was and lawn chemicals are totally, totally linked to bladder cancer in Scotty dogs. I mean, how you do a study where you find just Scotty dogs, right, and lawn chemicals? I don't know. But Scotties get a lot of bladder cancer, believe it or not, at least in my clinical experience. And the sprays in the lawn were definitely, irrefutably linked to sprays and lawn chemicals. But then you have this child, let's say, and this Scotty dog rolling in the lawn. You know, it's been sprayed so it looks really nice and there's no weeds, so you can be proud of your house, right?
Right.
And think of what they're all being exposed to.
It's incredible. We're going to take
it
a
is.
Break. We're going to take a break, and in 15 seconds we'll be right back. I'm Deborah Lynn Gatt. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and we're having a 12-hour marathon today. This is hour six. No, it's hour seven. I already did 6 hours. We're going from noon Eastern time today till midnight Eastern time. And in this hour, I'm here with holistic veterinarian Deva Kolsa. She's the author of a book. What's the name of your book?
Dr. Kolsa's Natural Dog, Bowtie
right.
Press, easy to get on Amazon.com. Just put my name in, Dr. Kolsa, or Natural Dog, it'll come right up.
And that's K-H-A-L-S-A. Just put Natural Dog. And she also has some vitamins, which we're going to talk about in a bit, that will help prevent illness in your dog. So also I want to give you the toll-free number in case anybody wants to call in and ask either of us a question. The toll-free number is 877-497-1811. I'll give you that again. It's 877-497-1811. Okay, Deva, let's go on.
Well, we can move on to some good news. I mean, that's all sort of frightening, but there are ways you can switch it.
Let's have some good news. Tell us some good things.
Let's go this way. First of all, you can minimize your lawn chemicals. There's all kinds of ways to do it. You know, plant certain kind of grasses, you know, live with a few weeds here and there. You know, and there's things like those torches that you can use for weeds if you have to. Although I have burned a bush or two using that, I must admit. Set a little tree on fire. But they're really...
Weed whacker.
Yeah, exactly. You can use a weed whacker. You can do it. There's all kinds of natural things if you go to your most people you can find easily. I mean, I'm not the expert on that, but I know I've used a bunch of them, so that you can minimize all of that. There are things you can do to help prevent fleas and ticks. One of the things that is really handy is garlic. Garlic is a magic. I just wrote an article. I'm Asked a Natural Vet every month in Dog World magazine, and I write for about 6 magazines. And just a month or two ago, and you can probably find it online, and I have to load all my magazine articles on my website, which is Dr. Deva, DrDeva.com. A lot of them are on there, but the garlic article is recent, so it's not. And a lot of people have, suddenly there's this thing on, you know, on the internet and all over the place that garlic is bad for dogs. And in the holistic veterinary community, we were all sort of stunned because we've been giving dogs garlic for years. There have been all these products which are concentrated garlic that you could give to your dog for years, and So I called the National Animal Supplement Council, and I said, I'm writing an article about garlic because it's not toxic for dogs. And he goes, thank God you are, because out of a million doses over so many years, there's been one adverse reaction, and it was like a little bit of vomiting. And the FDA has published a study on garlic, and if you looked at the real numbers, you know, they're saying it's toxic. And this is the amount that you have to give a dog for it to be toxic. You have to give a golden retriever, I'll give you the minimum and maximum, between 25 and something like 275 cloves of garlic in one meal for it to be toxic. Now, water can kill you if you drink enough of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what dog that would eat a meal that had 75 to 275 chopped cloves of garlic in it, right?
Even I could do that.
No, you won't. You won't. So you can give your large dog a couple of cloves of garlic. You can give your small dog a couple of cloves of garlic. You can give your large dog six cloves of garlic. You couldn't hurt him if you tried. But basically, if you took one or two cloves of garlic for a large dog and one for a small dog, and you cut it up really fine, and you let it sit for 5 to 20 minutes, anywhere between 5 and 20 minutes, and then throw it on their food, a reaction occurs, which creates a lysine and all kinds of really healthy compounds that have an anti-cancer effect, that have an antifungal, an antibacterial, and an antiviral effect, and that work to detoxify your body.
You need to soak it for 5 to 20 minutes in order to get that effect?
Not soak it. Chop it fine.
Chop it fine.
And then let it sit.
Oh, let it sit.
Exposed to the air.
Okay.
For 5 to 20 minutes, because when it sits, this chemical reaction occurs. Garlic doesn't naturally have a lysine in it. You actually have to chop it up, and chopping it up is what does it, is what creates the, you know, or you can put it in the garlic press, but that actually creates a reaction.
Does that apply to humans as well?
Absolutely. It applies to humans, absolutely. And another super-duper handy vegetable is kale, and you chop up kale really fine again, and that also helps it be more powerful. And kale was discovered in 1992 at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine as they discovered the first phytonutrients or phytochemicals, which are special chemical substances in plants that heal. It's the reason why all of these newspaper articles and magazines at the supermarket say eating green leafy vegetables or highly brightly colored vegetables and fruits will reduce your risk of diabetes and cancer and heart disease. It's because of these compounds in them that they call phytonutrients or phytochemicals from what they call superfoods. It's sort of when Hippocrates said, like, let food be thy medicine.
Yes.
Like, modern science is proving his words true. So in 1992, Johns Hopkins discovered the first phytochemical in kale. And they're called sulfuramines and sulfuramides, and broccoli has them too, and Brussels sprouts and cabbage have them, but kale super. And it dumps toxins. Kale dumps toxins out of the cells 6 to 10 times faster, dumps carcinogens out of the cells 6 to 10 times faster, cleans up after the party, is an incredible superfood to get that is very good for pets too. It's not expensive, and it helps clean the organs. There's two things, we mentioned I made a vitamin, but I did something else because I was so concerned. Let me back up. There's two things we have to do to stay healthy. One, we have to eliminate toxins in our lives as much as we possibly can and eliminate body threats and body subversions of processes that keep us healthy. And that's eliminating toxins like pesticides, chemicals, and things like that. And that's why that your book is so important for people to read, because they'll change their lives. And when they change their lives, they're going to naturally get healthier, and they're just going to get new habits. That's it. And those new habits will make them live longer and have better quality lives.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's simple. You read an enjoyable book, and suddenly you get ideas. Seeds are planted. You start changing the way you do things a little bit. It's no stress. It's no strain. But suddenly you get healthier. You're going to live longer. You're going to have a better quality life, as will your whole family.
Including your pets.
Exactly. So that's eliminating toxins, which is really important. So what I did was I have on my, one other thing I sell besides vitamins, and that's called Ticked Off, and it's on the Deserving Pets website. And it's made from a hydrolyzed silica that's totally safe. And what it does is it absorbs into the cuticle of fleas and ticks, and they die, and it kills them. But it's non-toxic. In fact, it's very healthy. It was going to be sold to Estee Lauder for women to make their faces look younger and improve collagen. And that's what you're spraying on to kill the fleas and ticks so it can't do any harm. And it's mixed with a very safe red southern cedar oil. It works fantastically for fleas. You just, you know, your dog smells a little bit like a hamster in the beginning, but that goes away pretty quickly. And some people like that sort of cedary smell. But it works very, very well, and it's totally natural. And there are other natural products out there. You know, we're broadcasting from Florida. You could be from anywhere. Florida does have a flea problem, you know, if your animals go outside. But this ticked off does work incredibly well for fleas. And on the other side of the coin, you have cleaning up after the party, vegetables like kale and beets and broccoli and things like that, blueberries, cranberries, milk thistle, dandelion is one of the most phenomenal herbs around. And I put all of that plus every vitamin and mineral that a dog or cat would need in super substantial doses. Everything is made in the human FDA facility into Vital Vites by Deserving Pets. And Deserving Pets, it makes a vitamin that's akin to stuffing your kids' Twinkies or cupcakes with fruits and vegetables and healthy vitamins and minerals, because we used a process, a nanotechnology process, which actually coats them so that the dogs and cats can't even smell it, that it's there. They just smell the delicious flavoring and think they're getting a treat. In the meantime, they're getting all these phytonutrients from the superfoods, the phytochemicals we talked about, to clean the toxins out of their cells, flush their organs, support their organ systems, and all these vitamins and minerals. Vitamins and minerals work for a couple of hours. The cells hungrily use them up to do their jobs, and we can talk about that later. But the phytochemicals work for days, cleaning and polishing and buffing and helping dissolve and remove things, that, the environmental toxins that we talk about. And, Deborah, I believe you can click onto your website to find that, can't you?
If you go onto my website, onto the page for Toxic Free Talk Radio, it has a link to your website there. And also on the blogtalkradio.com site where we're broadcasting from, there's also a link on the page that describes this show. But you can go ahead and give it, deservingpets.com, right?
Yeah, deservingpets.com, or go to the blog link or whatever, and you just attach to it. And you could read up on the product. My site has a lot of information about nutrition and how it works. And that's Dr. Deva, D-E-V-A, even though it sounds like D-A-V-A. It's doctor spelled out with D-E-V-A, my first name.com. But the thing is, if you minimize toxins, you just learn to do that in your environment. And then you also give the nutrition needed, because you can't walk around in a bubble, you know?
Yeah, this is what we were just talking about in the last hour for humans. Was to do pretty much what you just described for pets, but doing it for humans. That this is what the basic program is for being healthy in today's world, is to reduce the toxic chemical exposures and then do all these natural things to really boost the support in your body so that your body can actually do what it needs to do in order to tolerate being in this toxic environment. Because you're absolutely right. We are not... The way things are right now, even if you had your home be 100% toxic-free perfect like mine is, you walk out the door and you get in your car and you go to a store. I mean, you really can't just be living in a bubble. And even if you went to a mountaintop, it would still be toxic, because there are toxic chemicals all over the environment, all over the world.
Well, listen to this one. I used to have these chemically sensitive people as my clients, like a whole bunch of them. You know, they brought their dogs in to see me.
Yeah.
And they would tell me stuff that were real eye-openers. For instance, you know, because they're chemically sensitive, all their neighbors had to tell them when they sprayed their lawns, right?
Yeah.
Now, you would think that when it rained, it would wash all that stuff into the soil and it would all just disappear. Who cares? But when people spray their lawns around you and it rains, it actually takes all of the chemicals and the herbicides and pesticides and all the poisons that have been put on the lawn, and it makes it in a mist. It creates a mist that lives up to about 2 feet off the ground. And
wow.
That mist now holds and contains all those chemicals and pesticides. Now, you have to think that children are running through that mist the day after it rains, and that dogs and cats are running through that mist. And actually, they told me that if it rains, they have to get the hell out, because the stuff that their neighbors put on 2 weeks ago is going to come out of the ground like ghosts, shall we say, you know, and just start to permeate the air. Did you know that? Is that amazing?
I didn't know that. And I know a lot of people with multiple chemical sensitivities, including myself. I used to be disabled from that, and I consider myself recovered, but I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, that amazed me because, see, to me, I always think about what dogs and cats are running through. It's like, let's say dogs and cats get allergic. I do NAET for allergies in dogs and cats, which is called Nambujapat's allergy elimination technique, and it's a technique that you change the immune system so it's no longer allergic. But you have to think about the seasons a lot and what's going on. And when the leaves fall, one of the reasons why they turn brown in different colors and then decay so beautifully and become these lacy filigrees is because of mold and mildew that's on the leaves. But when you have dogs and children running around, they're running through them. They're running through the leaves. They're like in a mist of mold and fungus.
Yeah.
And we never think about that.
No, there's so much things we don't think about. We're just going to take another break, and we'll be back in 15 seconds.
Okay.
We're back on Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and I'm here with Dr. Deva Kolsa, who is a holistic vet, and we're talking about toxic chemicals that your pets might be exposed to and natural things that you can do to strengthen their detoxification systems and make your pets healthy. She is the author of Dr. Kolsa's Natural Dog Book. Did I get that right? I don't have it written down.
Well, Natural Dog. Dr. Kolsa's Natural Dog, yeah. Close enough.
And she's created a line of vitamins for dogs and cats, which are super, super support for the body being able to do process the toxic chemicals that your pets might be exposed to. I shouldn't even say might. I should just say the toxic chemicals that your pets are exposed to. Because even if you had a completely non-toxic home, your pet is going to go right outside and onto somebody else's lawn where the pesticides are being sprayed and just be exposed to those things. One of the things I wanted to mention, too, is that I've been talking about a product called Activated Liquid Zeolite, which I have available on my website and have personally been taking for about a year with great success. But it can also be given to pets. And what it does is that it goes in and kind of bypasses the detox system. So even if pets are really sick, they can take this. And it just removes heavy metals and radiation and things, lessening the load on the body. So that's another possibility for people, too, in terms of helping their pets be less toxic.
Yeah, it's nice to do. You know, it's nice to clean their liver. It's nice to clean their lymphatic system. But it's also nice to use a product that bypasses all that, doesn't have to use these overburdened organs, and can just excrete stuff out of the system.
Yeah.
Now, dogs and cats are exposed to even more toxins that one would think of. Do you know that tennis balls have a special coating on them? And that dogs that walk around with the average tennis ball, it's actually pretty toxic?
What's on a tennis ball?
You know, I don't remember the name of this stuff, but honestly, you can smell it. Take out a tennis ball.
Yeah, I know what a tennis ball smells like. And, don't dogs walk around with tennis balls in their mouths?
Absolutely. In fact, they sell tennis balls that are non-toxic for dogs. They sell doggy tennis balls that are non-toxic. But the ones that you pound with your tennis racket actually have toxic chemicals on them that are not good.
Another thing is that.
Yeah, you should look it up. It'd be handy, and you can put it on your blog, and people can then go on and look for it. We'll look for what it's on there. And let me know, because I'm getting lazy in my old age. There's so many toxins you can't keep up. A lot of times the rawhide chews and the pig ears and stuff are preserved with arsenic. And oddly enough, in the old days, farmers used to give their show horses and their show dogs just a little pinch of arsenic here and there to make their coats look lovely, because arsenic actually has an effect on the complexion and the hair and the nails that's actually wonderful. And in the old days, people used to take tiny bits of it to improve, their look. And if you took too much of it that you got really sick from it, which fascinates me when you think about it. But the thing, so maybe, having arsenic on a rawhide chew isn't bad. Your dog will get a better coat. I don't know. But arsenic is on it, which I guess I wouldn't recommend without knowing more about it. And certain cleaners, certain cleansers, like pine cleansers are terrible for, they're toxic to dogs and cats. You should never clean with Pine Sol and Pine Cleaners when you have dogs or cats.
I agree.
We were taught in veterinary school 30 years ago.
Wow. So they were aware of that even then.
Well, yeah, because they really got sick.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. You know, I just hear all these things, and I think that it's amazing that we're even alive. You know, I shouldn't laugh.
Well, we're sturdy. We're sturdy, and every once in a while we eat our vegetables and our good foods that clean our systems. You know, I just made a dinner before I did this radio show, and I put, like, lots of dandelion leaves in it, which I really – these were red dandelion leaves. They were really bitter. I ate, like, half of them, and I said, I can't do this anymore, you know. I can't chew on these. But they're so good for you. They're so good for your digestion. They're so good. Dandelion takes nutrients and moves it all around the body. It's great for the joints. It cleans the liver, cleans the gallbladder, great for the digestion, great for the skin. And it also, you know, tones the kidneys and cleans and heals. It's one of the best herbs to heal your liver, dandelion. And dandelion is, it's really like a magic herb. Like kale is a magic vegetable, and dandelion is a magic herb. After you do this for years, you learn to really admire certain vegetables and certain herbs. But let's look at dandelion for a minute, because it actually forms a picture. I'm sure you can think of the correct word. It's like an example of what life is about on this planet. There's this phenomenal herb, dandelion, right? It does so many good things. In the old days, people used to make dandelion tea. Do we all run out in the spring and pick our dandelion leaves fresh? Because in the spring, when dandelion grows, that's the time to clean your liver, because your pineal gland starts to get more light and your body starts to naturally detoxify. And that's why in the spring you get these weird spring colds and you feel sort of puffy and weird. And if you actually toned and cleaned your liver every spring, which like Ayurvedic medicine does, Chinese medicine does, you feel much healthier and be healthier all year long, but most people don't. But this herb grows exactly at the same time in the spring when the light is starting to get more. It comes in early in the spring when you actually need it. You should harvest it. The only way dandelion is different in the store than on your lawn is they just make it a little less bitter. But you add some lemon juice, you saute it in butter, you put it in salads. The Italians would go and pick herbs on the slopes all the time and eat dandelion, and you clean your liver and you get healthier, because the earth is providing for you at the time you need it, the herb that you need at that time of that season. And horses instinctively know this and eat the correct things in the fields in the spring. But what do as people? We run out with our lawn sprays to get rid of those damn dandelions.
Instead of eating the dandelions as we should, we go kill them with toxic chemicals. And this shows how out of harmony we are.
Right. Is that just telling when you think about it?
It's amazing, but we've lost that wisdom. We've lost
Totally. That mini story tells the whole story of what's happening on our planet, doesn't it?
It does. And what we need to be doing is remembering that wisdom, because in times past, the way tribes and traditional peoples would survive is that they would learn those things that help them survive, like eat those dandelions in the spring. And then it becomes tradition. But we were totally cut off from those traditions. And I know sometimes I just feel like that I want to go be part of some other culture, like, say, Italian or something, where those, at least that information still exists, that there's a line of knowing it. Here in America, we're completely cut off from that. We don't even know what it used to be of how people lived, because we're so industrialized.
I know. And, you know, like you go to Italy and you go to certain countries. I mean, you know, everyone's becoming Americanized in quotes, but they don't feel that the minute they get richer, they must run out and buy a bigger house.
Yeah.
You know, they don't do that. They live in the same house. They oftentimes use the same furniture their grandparents had. They move into their parents' business. There's a family I know on the Rialto Bridge in Venice. We used to go to Venice quite a lot. And, you know, it's the father, the grandfather, and then the children will take it. And it's this old business on the Rialto Bridge. They make leather books, and they make beautiful, beautiful scented inks. Oh, just gorgeous, you know. And they're just, you know, I haven't seen them in a while. I have to get to Venice, I guess. But the thing is that it's just like, it's a beautiful, beautiful way of life. And can you imagine going out and collecting mushrooms at a certain times of year and then bringing them back and making your wonderful dishes and herbs and from the fields and dandelion? How beautiful that is?
It is beautiful. And we talked about this earlier with another guest about how we think about that we have this toxic world and that we need to find a non-toxic product, but we haven't changed our paradigm. We're just like going to the store and being the same consumer, except now we're looking for something that's non-toxic. But as I've been doing this for so long that I actually made a shift and saw that it isn't just about finding the least toxic consumer product. There's whole other ways of living. And there's this whole connection with nature that we've been disconnected from. And that if we could just do some of those natural things, the hard part of it was that about 25 years ago, I grasped the concept and then I tried to do it. And if you say, oh, go out and find the dandelions, well, I'm not sure where my dandelions are. I mean, I know what they look like, but I don't think my lawn has dandelions. And if you wanted to have, go out to the hills and collect the herbs, well, I don't have hills to go collect them from. Or if you wanted to, I remember one of the first things I wanted to do was drink spring water, and I couldn't find a spring. And
then in Clearwater, Florida, you're not going to find too many hills, mushrooms. Well, maybe you find mushrooms. I don't know.
Let me tell you. I'll just say to our audience that David and I both live in Clearwater, Florida. There are mushrooms on the pesticide sprayed golf course on Drew Street and Betty Lane.
Yeah, but the thing is, we don't know anything about mushrooms. You have to have some old Italian woman who can say, this one is good. The gills, white gills, Although, in New Zealand, I have brought back mushrooms, checked them with my friends. We've had these thoughts, because really there's only certain ones that are going to kill you instantaneously. And I've cooked them up, and they've been just wonderful and fun, and it's been really fun. There was a guy who bought an empty lot next to my house in order to make a garden, and he moved back to California. It's sitting there. I'm sure he still owns it, I want him to dump it and get rid of it, and I want to buy it, and I want to make a community garden.
Build
a fence around it, put water in it, because the thing is, not only will we be able to garden and grow things, but we'll have community.
Yes, we really need that. We really, really need that.
But you always think, will you have community, or will you be ticked off that Myrtle took that tomato that you've been waiting to ripen?
Well, I think that that's another thing, is that we don't know how to be communities anymore.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's really is a skill, and that's part of this whole culture that we've lost by becoming industrialized. And I'm not saying that all industrialization is bad, but I'm saying that there are life-promoting ways to live that we've lost. And for me, the deepest solution to the problem of toxics is actually to rediscover all this old wisdom and the satisfaction of that kind of life. But it's so, so far away from where we are.
But, there's so many stresses and strains on us every day, and so many demands between our cell phones and our emails and our beepers. And so we think we have community with that, but we don't. What we've been is dehumanized, and what happens is we've been forced to be on beck and call with cell phones and this and that and all this stuff, which I am all the time, okay? But we don't have a community. We don't have where people just chat and shoot the breeze and be together. Like in the old days, women would have quilting things where they'd sit and quilt and they would talk. And in India, they would have peanut parties where everyone would eat peanuts and, the women would talk and do whatever. And people would get together and do tasks, not talk on the phone, not talk on the cell phone, which, of course, causes brain cancer anyway.
Right.
Not do short emails all the time, but actually just be together and have community. And we have accepted this dehumanization, and we are at the point where we should revolt against it. We should resist it, and it's not that hard to start to create community with your friends and with your people again, doing projects that make your life and the world a better place, because everybody wins.
That's exactly what we need to do, and I've actually been talking to some people about exactly that, so I think you're going to find that in Clearwater very soon.
Yeah, so we can nurture.
Opportunities. I collect quotations, and one of my favorite quotations is about this event that happens, I forget where it is, called the Christmas Cookie Bake. And it's this church where they get together and they bake cookies, and they bake thousands of cookies and pass them out at Christmas time or something like that. And they were saying that they've been doing this for 25 or 30 years, but what's important now is not the cookies. It's the cookies are there as the project that they do together. They're good for the community. They do that project. And what happens is they build relationships. That is very different. If you're doing something that contributes to survival together, is very different than standing around at a cocktail party.
I was just thinking the same thing as you said. I was thinking, what a different feel when you have a purpose versus having a drink and doing polite conversation. So how's Johnny doing? Oh,
yeah.
Well, he was having a hard time in school. It's like, it's a whole different way of talking to someone than if you're doing something together.
You're doing something together and you're creating something together and you're building something together. I'll just say that I met Deva because Deva and I both belong to a group where we help each other with our small businesses. And the way we do it is that we come and sit around and have lunch on a Saturday, and we do this every week. And everybody gets 10 minutes to talk about what's going on with their business and what kind of help they would like. And we help people solve problems. And so we come in and say, somebody will come in and say, I need to figure out how I'm going to promote my book or whatever. And people give ideas. And we've made so many connections and learned so many things. You know, you think that you would want to go to a group like that because you want to ask your question. But I go and I want to sit and listen to everybody else's answers because I get information that I would never even think of to ask. And we now have this whole little group of people who all care about our businesses.
And we all care about each other. And it's a real sense of community. And we didn't have a meeting for a little bit because people were traveling and there were seminars and people missed it. I miss it when I don't have our meetings.
I miss it. I wanted to go and I wanted to, you know, bring my books and say, look at my book and I'm having a marathon. And, you know, and these are the kinds of things that, that don't happen. I don't want to say that they don't happen because of toxic chemicals, but the thing is that if you have community and somebody is starting a little business baking bread out of organic wheat, you're going to go support that organic wheat bakery because you have a relationship with that person. And it's more important to you to have that community and have that wholesome pro-survival food than it is to go buy the cheap plastic wrap bread. And so this is where all these other elements actually need to come into play, that the solution to toxics is not just a non-toxic product on a shelf, even though that's a step and it's good and it needs to happen. But there's a lot more. There's just a lot more that gives you a fuller life.
Well, you know, interestingly, when we go to animals, too, as far as community, you know, there are dog walk parks, and there are people go and walk their dogs every day. And when I was in veterinary school, there was an old, I don't know, monastery of some sort in Philadelphia that no one lived in anymore, and everyone walked their dogs on the land. And you'd meet all the same people every day and find out how they were doing, and you'd look forward to it because it was that sense of quiet community,
yeah.
And that still
yeah.
happens with people. And dogs, you know, we're on the subject of animals with me, and so I'll bring us back to animals because I guess we should do animals. But, you know, even when they have different animal fairs and things like that, it's very, very nice. I'm going up to where I'm from, Bucks County, Pennsylvania, up at New Hope, which is where Washington crossed the Delaware and attacked the Hessians. It's really a charming, beautiful area like England with covered bridges. And I'll be up there in the beginning of October as a celebrity at the Dog Daddy Festival. And it's a wonderful festival, but there is doggy square dancing, and there is a doggy Halloween costume parade, and, you know, there's doggy massage, and, you know, I'll give a lecture, and there's all this other really cool stuff, right?
Yeah.
And people come with their dogs and pets, and they have the best time, because every half hour there's something else happening, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a little bit insouciant and awfully fun, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful time for all because of that, because you're including your pets in there. When you want to talk about community and having someone that you feel that loves you and, you know, having a lot of times for many of us, what we have is our pets.
Right.
So what can you do better than to go out with your pets to other places and be with lots of people and talk and have a sense of community and be with your pets? And, you know, I think that a lot of people in this country are moving toward wanting a sense of community, wanting to live someplace where there is, because we have become isolated. We, you know, not that we're not always talking to people with an internet or whatever, but that we don't have that feeling of being together with another person, that the way that you maybe sat next to your favorite uncle during a family thing and felt really comfortable because you were next to him and you knew he loved you and you loved him and everybody was safe, you know? That kind of feeling. You can't get it with an email.
No, you can't. And I used to know some women I used to live in West Marin County in California across the bridge from San Francisco. And it's a rural community, and I knew some women, and we would get together, even though we could email and we could phone, we would get together in person for the chocolate cake factor. And that's what we could call it, because you can't have chocolate cake on an email. And it's just sitting together, having that physical presence together. And I think that people miss that. You know, like I'll say to certain people, well, come over here and talk to me, and they'll say, well, can I do it on the phone? It's like, no, I want you sitting here with me. And I see that people aren't grasping that.
It's true. And we expect more and more of ourselves, but that sense of community and even having animals is giving to ourselves.
It is.
It's actually, and making a non-toxic environment for yourself is giving to yourself. I mean, it's a flow into you. Eating healthy food is a flow into you. Having people that you can sit with and just know that it's okay, and that they can say what they have to say and you'll say what they have to say. You know, what you have to say is okay. Having your pets love you and them love you is a flow. And all of these different flows in and out of caring and love and communication, you know, create for you a tapestry of what your life is going to be.
And it's very healing. I think that that's part of the factor that we've talked about, nutrition and different things that people can do to detox their bodies. But I think that love is a very important healing element. And I know, like, I've never had a dog, but I've had cats. And I really love my cats. And I've had cats where we had kittens and things like that, and it was a very alive thing. And so I've been there when kittens were born, and I've had a cat die in my arms. And I don't have a cat right now, but I really miss having a pet. That I miss having that aliveness in the house. And I think
it's true because if there's one thing animals understand, it's a sense of community. If you have a couple of dogs, they're a pack. I mean, cats are not as packy, but they know that they're a community. But, you know, dogs consider everything community. The community is their life, because where they come from is a pack. So you got three dogs and two humans, it's their pack, it's your community. You got two dogs and you're the pack. And, you know, that's just the way they think, but that's one of the reasons why we find them so nurturing, along with so many others, is because they think in terms of community. They don't know how to think any other way.
That's right. Everything is a community. You know, plants have communities in nature. Fish are communities. Everything is a community. And our natural state as humans is to be a community, not just with each other as humans, but to be a community with all that we've forgotten.
And, you know, on one side of the coin, there's a small town that everybody knows each other's business, and there's this competition and hostility, right? On the other side is the community of people who care and want each other to do well. And that is the scene that we want to create.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to. The other, you know, there's always going to be one-upsmanship or jealousy somewhere, someplace in life. You're never going to see competitiveness disappear from the world. But if we nourish the sense of community that we've been talking about, everyone who does and involves themselves in it is going to enrich their lives.
We've got a caller. Let's see. Earlier I was having trouble getting it. Caller, are you there?
Yes, is this me?
Yes, you're on the air with Everlyn Dadd and Dr. Dava Kalsa.
The one thing that hadn't been talked about was the vaccines, the over-vaccines and pets. And
you're so right.
Yeah, and how it's detrimental to their health, and so many people don't realize they don't have to vaccinate.
I only have a few minutes left. Should I rip into this right now for everyone who's listening?
Yeah, I'll give you one minute.
I'll hang up. Go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, wait. Okay, so... So 20 years ago, 30, not well, let's say 40 years ago, you gave your dog puppy shots at most, and then, you know, veterinarians were busy little people who did horses and cows and everything else, and you didn't see allergies, you didn't see cancer, you didn't see all this stuff. And nowadays, you're told to vaccinate your puppy at 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, 14 weeks, 16 weeks, and maybe a little bit less than that. You know, maybe they tell you come in at 6 weeks, and then at 8 weeks, and 10 weeks, and 12 weeks, and 14 weeks, and then come back a year later. It's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. And then you're told that your dog has to have these vaccines all his life. Well, sort of, it's the same as, I have to go so fast on this, it's so important, thank that caller. It's the same thing as you being worried about your polio, and you going in every year until you're 90 years old for a polio shot. That polio shot that you got as a kid lasts your entire life. Dogs are over-vaccinated for one reason. If a Pittman Moore, the companies that made vaccines, suddenly announced that proudly that their Destempo and Parvo combo vaccine, if given once after 6 months of age, after there was a booster when they were young, lasted for the dog's entire life, they would lose 90% of their profit because dogs wouldn't come in every year for these vaccines. Yeah. Veterinarians love it because they send you these cards and they tell you to come in, all right, and then they get your visit. And why else is anybody going to bring a relatively healthy dog in to the vet? And they justify it by saying they pick up things that are wrong. The problem is that vaccines are causing lots of problems. You're not only getting the viruses you buy. In other words, for a dog, you're buying a distemper, parvo, dysprosis, hepatitis, you know, a coronavirus. And for the cat, you're buying the panleukopenia, the distemper, you know, their viruses, the Khaleesi viruses. You're getting everybody else's viruses. Those broths have been contaminated with cow viruses, with horse viruses, with sheep viruses, with pig viruses. They cross-contaminate. Parvo was actually, the parvo disease in dogs used to be feline panleukopenia. It was feline distemper. But the feline distemper virus had contaminated the dog vaccine broth for years, and finally it broke species and created a brand new disease, which was called parvo. But it's really the canine form of feline panleukopenia with a virus in the broth that jumped species, attacked the dogs. FIP didn't even exist in cats as a disease that started in 1974. It's a created disease. So vaccines, you're getting lots of viruses that you never paid for, and you're also getting adjuvants like mercury and formaldehyde in a broth that is made up of chicken, egg, and bovine serum, which is cows, and then brewer's yeast. So when you
to stop you. I'm sorry, just because we're running out of time. But we will have you on again.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being on.
I couldn't answer the vaccine question to the caller. Thank you. You're so smart. Okay.
Okay. Thanks for coming, David, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. Bye. All right, our next hour, I see that our next guest is already on the line waiting for us. Hi, Ellen. And I'm just going to take a little break for 3 minutes, actually 2.5 minutes, and I will be right back and we'll continue with our 12-hour marathon of Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad.